Good morning.
Good morning.
And for you people out in DVD land or internet land, howdy, y'all. Just to let you know that we're down-to-earth people, and since you're not here. You know, I've been having a pretty good feast, but, you know, I... I have my, Colleen and my wife and my mother-in-law here to keep me in line, so. But you know, this morning when I got up, I put on shaving cream and reached in my shaving kit to get a razor out, but I didn't notice I had my toothbrush, but. You know, shaving cream makes pretty good toothpaste. You know, of all the feast sites that I've attended, this is one of them. I picked that up. I know Matt knows what I'm talking about. I picked that up at that vaudeville review. They said something similar to that. They were a very talented crew. Well, I tell you what. This feast site has the most loving and inspiring brethren to fellowship with. It's just amazing. One guy told me he gets more out of the fellowship. It's just so wonderful. And, you know, Arn does sharpen Arn. Someone else pointed that out. Well, I have a message. You know, Bob Wright was to speak in the slot I'm speaking in right now. But because of some health problems, he had to go home right after the first day. But he asked me to give you this message. Four times in recent years, I had to share lodging at the feast, and twice had to leave due to health problems. But on the bright side, he said, there are a few things in this life that I regret more than missing the Feast of Tabernacles with all of you. So please cherish this time together. And he said his hope and prayer is to be back next year. Love, Bob Wright. Now this is an ongoing health problem that he has, so let's have ongoing prayers for him that he can be here back next year. Oh, he had a P.S. here, and he says, Bob said, he knows Mark Delgart is amazed how short this message is. Well, Bob, you said you would listen on the DVD, so... We do. We love you. Okay. My title is Boldly Go Forward into the Kingdom. Some of you may remember a Western TV show back in the 60s about Wyatt Earp. At the beginning, they sang a song about his accomplishments as he cleaned up the cattle towns. He was real good at that, you remember? He laid the law down. Oh, by the way, Betty told me to lay the law down today. Well, spiritually speaking, well, in that song were the words brave, courageous, and bold. Well, spiritually speaking, we need to be that way, spiritually, brave, courageous, and bold. You know, our country is, you know, it's turned its back on Jesus Christ. And somebody needs to stand up for Jesus Christ. You know, we must stand up boldly for Jesus Christ. The Feast of Tabernacles pictures the kingdom of God right here on this earth during the coming millennium. A time when the child will play by the adder's hole and the wolf will dwell with the lamb. And the environment will flourish. It is a thousand-year period when Jesus Christ will rule the world from Jerusalem. I really enjoyed that song, Jerusalem, yesterday. That was great, wasn't it? I enjoyed that special music just now. I got a little country. I'm a country boy from Louisiana. The elect, the called and chosen people down through the ages, will be ruling and serving under him, under Jesus Christ. Now, that includes us. We are among the first fruits, those in the first resurrection. Today, let's review the meaning of this feast and how God wants us to be leaders in the coming millennium. We have to trust in God's strength to deliver us, while the world's way of being brave, courageous, and bold is to depend on their own strength, whereas we depend on spiritual strength. Well, we're talking about being bold. Let's cover some scriptures on being bold. I'll just read this to you. Proverbs 28 and verse 1 says, "The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion." Philippians 1 and verse 14, "Most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident in my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Now, Hebrews 13:6 says, "We may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" I have one more on being bold. 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 7. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him, for there are more with us than with him." See, the Assyrian army had an army of flesh, while we have a spiritual army. We need to be bold as trials and tribulations approach. So we have the spiritual help. We also need to think spiritually. You know, think outside self. Let me give an example of a man's way of thinking. Pat's been giving me some etiquettes, teaching on etiquettes, you know. So, okay. Sherry and I were going on a short sightseeing trip. Matt and Rita's been the same one. We took them on it, up on the South Fork of the Boise River. As we wind it down to the bottom where you cross the river, there's a small bridge, wooden bridge. And there was a guy getting out to fish, just getting geared up to fish when we went by. And when we came back by, he was getting ungeared, putting away his stuff. So as you cross that bridge, you're going real slow, and I was going right by him, so I just stopped and said, "Well, how did you do?" He said, "Oh, I got my limit." And I said, "Well, you know, there's a lot of lava rocks along there." He had on his waders and everything, so he wasn't afraid of snakes, I guess. But there's a lot of snakes in that lava rock. He said, "Yeah, I saw some of them." And so while we were standing there talking, one crawled out between us. So I got ready to kill that snake, you know. And he says, "Don't bother that snake. He's not bothering you." I said, "Well, those fish wasn't bothering you either." But you see there how men think, you know, outside the spiritual realm. It's not okay to kill a rattlesnake to them, or walk where the deer and the elk roam, or squash any of the bugs out there. But it's okay to kill the unborn. You know, it's okay to kill babies. See how they think? Well, in the millennium, we're going to do something about that. In the millennium, snakes won't bite, so you don't need to kill them. But I remember when some folks dug up a tree stump, and there were some baby rattlers in that stump hole. Actually, they took the stump out, and they killed all the baby rattlers, but there was one that was back in the dirt somewhere. They didn't see it, and a few days later, a child, a young baby, a young child was playing in that stump hole, and he got bit by that rattler, baby rattler, and the baby died. So now the snake's life worth more than the child. Does an unborn baby have to die because it's not convenient to the mother to have a baby? See, that's the way men think. Well, the world thinks. The world thinks so today under the influence of Satan. But like I said, we're going to change the way men think in the millennium. That's part of what we're going to do. In preparation for the millennium, why do we go to the feast each year? You know, why do we go? Well, one answer is to learn to fear God. You know, if men fear God, they won't do all these things. Well, what does fear God mean? The fear of God means to hate evil. I can show you that, and you don't have to turn there, but chapter 8 and verse 13 says, the fear of God is to hate evil. We also go to the feast because we love God. Let's look at John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. That includes the holy days, as they are an annual Sabbath. Now let's get into the awesome meaning of the Feast of Tabernacles. Satan don't want us to, but let's do it anyway. God wants us to, so we hate evil, we love God. Let's turn to Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9. Now in Zechariah 14 and verse 9 it says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be, the Lord is one, and his name is one. It's speaking about Jesus Christ's return and the rule and his rule on this earth. Notice verses 16 to 19. Now, this is coming out of the Old Testament, but it's forecasting the future. Verse 16, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16. You know, I know this verse has been covered. You know, I wrote this several weeks or maybe a month before the feast, so I'm not going to leave nothing out just because it's been covered. I got that much redneck in me. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. That's in the future. Now down in verse 17 it says, and it shall be whichever of the families of the earth do not come to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, of them there will be no rain. Verse 18, if the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, aren't you glad you're here? Keeping the feast. Notice Christ, he didn't say, I'm going to throw you in that fiery furnace if you don't come up here and keep the feast. No, he's much more merciful. Now, dropping down to verse 19. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So, you know, even then, men fail to repent. You know, Rich Traver pointed out that it's our job to change that. You know, we're going to help change that. People need to learn to repent. So you being here today shows you are brave, courageous, and bold. Especially since being a Christian today is not very popular, is it? Yes, we are preparing for that time when all nations will appear at the feast by being here now. As Coy said on the opening night, we are here at the feast to learn. That's putting it correct. Let's look at the scripture addressing the millennium. Turn to Micah chapter 4 and verses 1 to 4. That's Micah chapter 4 and down in verses 1 to 4. Verse 1, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. Many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Verse 3, he shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Notice verse 4. We're coming up to verse 4. Notice the peace that will come. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. So this feast pictures a wonderful time of peace. Peace on earth, when no one will be afraid. Notice how Romans 14 refers to it. Romans 14 and down in verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You catch that? Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, as the title of this sermon implies, boldly go forward into the kingdom or into the millennium. Let's look at something very important in order for us to move forward into the kingdom. I'm going to give you a number of things that's important for us to move forward into the kingdom. Well, to start off with, the attitude of humility, which was taught by Jesus Christ so that we can serve with him in his kingdom. Other than love to God and love to your neighbor, humility will probably move you forward into the kingdom faster than anything else. Other than, you know, love, well, faith. You got to have faith. I'll cover that later. Let's start in Matthew 20 and verse 20. Matthew 20 and verse 20. We're going to go to verse 28. Starting in verse 20. Here is what Christ taught his disciples and is for us also. Verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons. Now that's James and John. And kneeling down, she asked something from him. Verse 21. And he said to her, what do you wish? And she said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right and one on your left, in your kingdom. What do you see there? Do you see a lack of humility there? Verse 22, but Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am able to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, we are able. Verse 23, so he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand or on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. So God the Father is preparing for each of us a job, a duty, a responsibility. an opportunity of service in his kingdom. Well, let's go back to Matthew 20 and verse 24. Down in verse 24. And when the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with these two brothers. See, they were moved with indignation with the two brothers. Kind of still going on today, isn't it? Verse 25. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Verse 26. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. See why serving is so important? It takes humility to serve. There's no way you can serve without humility. I think I'm getting a little unwired. Now in verse 27, and whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Verse 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Yeah, I lost my... I think I got it now. Got it back. My ears don't want to... I have to bend down for him to reach it. Okay, how's that? He wants to see how long it's going to take. But thanks, Les, for that service. Humility, you had to come here and stand by me. Okay, verse 27. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So we need to all of us need to work together to develop the same attitude of humility that Jesus Christ had and showed in those scriptures. Verse 14. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Can you imagine a spirit being as great as he is coming down here, taking on flesh and blood, washing the disciples' feet, dying on the cross? Verse 15, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. What an example. Now, here is Jesus, the Son of God, and awesome. He's in an awesome act of humility as he humbled himself. What an incredible example. The importance of humbling yourself before God cannot be expressed enough. I can repeat that and repeat it, but can't express it enough. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. That's chapter 2 of Philippians. Starting in verse 5. Yeah, I woke up this morning with a scratchy throat and a headache, and I really didn't know how I would do today, but you keep me in your prayers. We'll get there. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to be developing the mind of Christ. You know, we need to speak the same thing. We need to work on that. Verse 6, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God? Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Verse 9. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. As servants and followers of Christ, we sincerely want to become humble servants like Jesus Christ. Pray for one another that we can grow together and model ourselves after Jesus Christ. We must strive and encourage each other to set the example of Christ, a Christ-like service. Personally, I believe the Christian Church of God in Grand Junction is doing that. That's why I keep coming back. They also have the attitude of love and humility to one another that others will know who they represent. Now, if you hadn't read the booklet, Against All Odds, it tells about this church in Grand Junction, the history of it, and how this church was built on faith. Anybody that don't have this book, this is the last copy, but they're going to order some more. But whoever don't have one, you can have this one. Whoever gets first. First come, first serve. Now, I mentioned that it was built on faith. Though, you know, through love we serve one another. It brings us closer to one another, which is also serving God when this is done. So you not only serve your brother when you're serving, you serve God too. As we focus on the meaning of the Feast of Tabernacles, let's go over in Daniel. Daniel chapter 7. Verses 13 and 14. Daniel chapter 7, and down in verse 13. Now this is Daniel in a vision, a vision of the future of Christ's return to this earth. Verse 13. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. This is Christ brought before the Father. Now in verse 14, then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. And his kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. Now, when he comes here, he's going to destroy all the kingdoms of men. All the governments of men are going to be wiped out. They won't exist anymore. But the kingdom of God will last forever. So Daniel gives this vision of the kingdom of God on earth. Now notice the amazing verse down in verse 27, chapter 7, verse 27 of Daniel. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given. Given to who? Given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. My wife sings me a song, Trust and Obey. I just love the words in that song, though. And believe it or not, she plays the guitar as she sings the song. I've been trying to get her to get up here and do some special music, but so far, no luck. Jesus overcame the world. We will, too, in order to be a ruler in God's kingdom. To be a ruler, we're going to overcome the world. Christ did. Yeah, that qualifies us to teach others who have to overcome. See, you've been there and done that, so you can teach others how to make it. When we have done that, then we will be able to help others overcome. So God reveals in this prophecy that those called to be God's people, the saints, are going to be given rulership in the kingdom of God over all nations. What a truth of God, and how amazing it is to understand this wonderful plan He has for each of us. It is why we are keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. Let us go to the New Testament. Down in Luke chapter 12. Let's see what Jesus says about the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 12 and verses 31 to 32. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. You got to get your ducks in a row. Seek first the kingdom of God. Then all these things will be added to you. Now in verse 32, he added, do not fear, little flock. Aren't we a little flock? For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. Aren't those pleasant and comforting words? It's his good pleasure, you know, to give you the kingdom. Notice God's people. His church has always been a little flock. You have that opportunity to serve in God's church and with Jesus Christ in the coming millennium and bring everlasting peace to a dying world. Thus, a wonderful time lies ahead for all mankind, just not us, but sooner or later, all mankind. Now, in Revelation chapter 20, a scripture we're looking forward to its fulfillment. Revelation 20 and verses 4 to 6. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received the mark on their forehead or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. That 1,000 years is the period of the millennium called the kingdom of God on earth. Now let's continue. Verse 5. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. That shows you right there is another resurrection on its way. The rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. Of course, that was the first resurrection of all the first fruits. Another way to be preparing in the coming millennium is by building on your faith. Wait a minute. I jumped a page there. We were on verse 6. That was the first resurrection. In the first resurrection, the first fruits, the saints, are resurrected and rule with Christ during the 1,000-year millennium. This is referring to the first resurrection. Now, in another resurrection, after the 1,000 years, of those that have not been called, will be, let's see, will be the second resurrection from the dead back to a physical life and given the opportunity to know God and to know the truth. They don't know it now. Satan's seeing to that, but he don't know that he's doing a favor in a way because God's not ready to reveal the truth to them until after the millennium. And to know him, you know, to know him without Satan's influence. See, Satan's going to be done away with during that time. Today, under Satan's rule, they don't have that opportunity. See, right now, Satan is throwing darts at them. Now, continuing in verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, this next verse we covered in the Bible study, but like I say, I'm not scratching anything out. Now, in Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 20, it mentions living for a lifespan of 100 years. That's Isaiah 65 and verse 20. Perhaps this is the last great day period, but could it also be the lifespan during the 1,000-year millennium? Well, we don't know. We will have to wait there, I think. As you know, it is through much tribulation that we enter the kingdom of God. Thus you will have to have and use God's Spirit to be spiritually brave, courageous, and bold. Now, I'm going to go, let me pause for a drink of water here. I'm getting a little dry. Now, another thing to go boldly that we're going to need to go boldly into the millennium, another way to be preparing to be leaders in the coming millennium is by building on your faith. Those weak in faith in the coming tribulation will be the first to crack. You got to have faith. The faithful endure because they know where their strength comes from. It is the gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says it is the gift of God. Points that out. So during the tribulation, we will need faith to keep from caving in. Boldly ask God for faith regularly. Without faith, you cannot please God. That's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, you can't please God. So another reason to why we are here is because we believe in God. Our faith is from God. It moves us boldly forward into the kingdom. Well, let us review what we must be doing and how we go boldly forward into the kingdom, into the millennium. We must not grow cold. I noticed we must not grow cold in doing the work of God. Rich had the heater on warmed up for me this morning. When I got here, it was pretty warm. We don't need to grow cold doing the work of God. He had me warmed up there. We have to finish the race, as our beloved Dale Atterbury mentioned in his sermon last year, titled, Be There. So if you want to see Dale in the millennium, well, be there. You know, he pointed out, finish the race. Don't matter if you finish first, 10th, 100th, finish the race. I listened to that message before I came over here again. And remember to develop the important ingredient of humility. Remember to show up at the feast because it is preparation for the time when all nations will appear at the feast. You need to be here now for this training and blessing. It is our training ground. And remember to build on your faith. You can have a part in bringing peace to this world that is full of strife and turmoil. So be spiritually brave, courageous, and bold as you prepare to enter the kingdom of God and the 1,000-year millennium. As Dale said, be there!